One should concentrate his mind upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who alone distributes himself in so many manifestations. Just as ordinary persons create thousands of manifestations in dreams, one must concentrate the mind on him, the only all-blissful absolute truth. Otherwise, one will be misled and will cause his own degradation. Purport. In this verse, the process of devotional service is indicated by the great Goswami, Srila Shukadeva. He tries to impress upon us that instead of diverting our attention to several branches of self-realization, we should concentrate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the supreme object of realization, worship, and devotion. Self-realization is, as it were, offering a fight for eternal life against the material struggle for existence. And therefore, by the illusory grace of the external energy, the yogi or the devotee is faced with many allurements which can entangle a great fighter against the bondage of material existence. A yogi can attain miraculous success in material achievements such as anima and lagima, by which one can become more minute than minutest, or lighter than the lightest, or in the ordinary sense, one may achieve material benedictions in the shape of wealth and women. But one is warned against such allurements, because entanglement, again, in such illusory pleasure, means degradation of the self and further imprisonment in the material world. By this warning, one should follow one's vigilant intelligence only. The Lord is one, and his expansions are various. He is therefore the supersoul of everything. When a man sees anything, he must know that his seeing is secondary, and the Lord's seeing is primary. One cannot see anything without the Lord's having first seen it. That is the instruction of the Vedas and the Upanishads. So whatever we see or do, the supersoul of all acts of seeing and doing is the Lord. This theory of simultaneous oneness and difference between the individual soul and the supersoul is propounded by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the philosophy of Achintabhedaveda Tattva. The Virata Rupa, or the gigantic feature of the Supreme Lord, includes everything materially manifested, and therefore the Virat, or gigantic feature of the Lord, is the supersoul of all living and non-living entities. But the Virat Rupa is also the manifestation of Narayan or Vishnu, and going further on until one will eventually see that Lord Krishna is the ultimate supersoul of everything, and that being. The conclusion is that one should unhesitatingly become a worshipper of Lord Krishna. Or for that matter, his plenary expansion, Narayan, and none else. In the Vedic hymns, it is clearly said that first of all, Narayan cast his glance over matter, and thus there was creation. Before creation, there was neither Brahma nor Shiva, and what to speak of others? Sri Pad Shankaracharya has definitely accepted this, that Narayan is beyond the material creation, and all others are within the material creation. The whole material creation, therefore, is one with and different from Narayan, simultaneously. And this supports the Achintabhedaveda philosophy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Being an emanation from the glancing potency of Narayan, the whole material creation is non-different from him. But because it is the effect of his external energy, Bahirangamaya, and is aloof from the internal potency, Atmamaya, the whole material creation is different from him at the same time. The example given in this verse, very nicely, is that of a dreaming man. A dreaming man creates many things in his dreams, and thus he himself becomes entangled He becomes the entangled seer of the dream and is also affected by the consequences. The material creation is also exactly a dream-like creation of the Lord. But he, being the transcendental supersoul, is neither entangled nor affected by the reactions of such dream-like creation. He is always in his transcendental position, but essentially he is everything, and nothing is apart from him. As a part of him, one should therefore concentrate on him only, without deviation. Otherwise, one is sure to be overcome by the potencies of the material creation, one after another. It is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9.7 as follows. Sarva bhutani kuntiya prakritim yanti mamikam kalpa shai punashtani kalpado visrajamyaham. O son of Kunti, at the end of the millennium, every material manifestation enters into my nature. And at the beginning of another millennium, by my potency, I again create. The human life, however, is an opportunity to get out of this repetition of creation and annihilation. It is a means whereby one may escape the Lord's external potency and enter into his internal potency. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the second canto, first chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The First Steps in God Realization. Om Agyan Tamidam Nasya Chanan Janan Shalake Yathakshura Manitandina Tasmai Sri Giri Minha Jaya Shri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Karadha Shiva Shari Gaura Bhakta Prind Hare Krishna 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 Hari Hari Hare Rama 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 Hari Hari. Srila Prabhupada finishes the purport here. Human life, however, is an opportunity to get out of the repetition of creation and annihilation. It is a means whereby one may escape the Lord's external potency and enter into his internal potency. So actually, he also finishes Bhagavad Gita on this very point. Prabhupada's last sentence in the Bhagavad Gita, his purport, is saying exactly the same thing, that how the living entity has been tangled up in this material creation, and he should become free from that by the process of devotional service and enter into his internal potency. Prabhupada finishes the purport. In other words, internal potency, Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, the pleasure potency, the internal pleasure potency, which is the Haladini potency. So the conclusion of Prabhupada's Gita is that the living entity should actually enter into the Haladini potency, which is the potency where Radha and Krishna and all the pastimes of the Lord are going on. So Prabhupada actually wants to take us, in the Prabhupada's translation of Gita, he wants to take us from the material world and put us in Golok, in Radha and Krishna, in the Haladini giving potency. That means in the association of Radha and Krishna and their devotees. So many things in this verse here, in purport, Prabhupada. So here is Prabhupada is talking about how the whole Virat Rupa, which has just been described here, is the universal form of the Lord, and everything is simultaneously the Lord's energy, but he is different from it. It is his external energy, but as he's quoting here from the Vedas and the Upanishads, and Shankaracharya also, that before the creation, when there was no moon, no sun, no stars, nothing, only Narayan existed. That means he existed in the spiritual world, where there is sun and moon and stars and life and everything is going on in the spiritual world. But in the material world, when all of these things are annihilated, nothing exists. But Narayan is existing beyond that, and the spiritual activity is going on there. So this material manifestation is nothing but the Lord's energy, which he manifests sometimes and withdraws. And then again he expands it. So it's just an expansion of Krishna's body. And then it goes back into Krishna's body. So that's all that's happening. It's nothing but Krishna expanding himself and withdrawing his expansion in the material world. And in the spiritual world, it's nothing but Krishna expanding himself and staying expanded. And then just entering into that and enjoying pastimes. So spiritual, material, everything is nothing, there's nothing but Krishna actually in existence. So simultaneously one and different, everything is Krishna in the feature of the universal form, material in the material world, but simultaneously he is different from it. He's not even here, he's in his own abode enjoying eternally with his associates. But simultaneously this is, he is here in the universal form. So this is a vision that we can try and develop, understanding that there's nothing in existence but Krishna, therefore we should surrender to him. And then practically you don't need any more philosophy. No philosophy, if you understand that, well, everything is Krishna, it's Krishna's energy. And, you know, I'm also Krishna's energy. Whether I think I'm this body, it's Krishna's. If I think I'm the mind, it's Krishna's energy. If I think I'm the soul, it's also Krishna's energy. So whatever it is, it has to be used in Krishna's service. And just go through life like that. Happy. And then you go back to God. You've got no problem if you can maintain that understanding. Yeah, so like that we can, then Krishna consciousness becomes quite easy. But the problem is we forget that Krishna is everything, and we tend to think we are everything. And then we become entangled here, in the material world. There's another verse here, we just read, it's really good. I like this verse, it's one of my favorite, not the verse, but the purport of Prabhupada's. Prabhupada's sarcasm here. It's in verse 37. No, not 37. Where is it? Oh, in 31. Verse 31. And the translation says, they say that the Vedic hymns are the celebrial passage of the Lord, and his jaws of teeth are Jama, the Lord of death, who punishes sinners. The art of affection is his set of teeth, and the most alluring, illusory energy is his smile. And the great ocean of material creation is but the casting of his glance over us. This is the description of the universal form. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, according to the Vedic assertion, this material creation is the result of the Lord's casting his glance over the material energy, which is described as the most alluring, illusory energy. The conditioned souls are allured by such materialism should know that material temporary creation is simply an imitation of the reality, and that those who are captivated by such alluring glances of the Lord are put under direction of the control of sinners called Yamaraj. Then Prabhupada says, he's saying this, but here, very, very cynical purport. The Lord smiles affectionately, displaying his teeth. The intelligent person who can grasp these truths about the Lord becomes a soul fully surrendered unto him. Oh, you got it? So the Lord smiles affectionately, displaying his teeth. Though the Lord's smile is the most illusory material energy. So we hear him and we see this most illusory. It's like the Lord's smile, we're attracted to it. The Lord smiles affectionately, displaying his teeth. And his teeth are the art of affection. So he glances and we think, well, it's very alluring material. And we become affectionate and attracted to this. His teeth are the art of attraction, so we become attracted. So what happens when we're attracted by the illusory energy and the nice smiling teeth of Krishna? His jaws are Yama, the Lord of death. So he smiles, showing his teeth, and we're attracted, and this is material energy. It's attracting us. It's the Lord's trick. He's attracting us, but as he's smiling, glancing. But when you come close, and the jaws are jamma, and then he kills everyone and takes them. Very, very nice purple. The Lord smiles affectionately, displaying his teeth. The intelligent person who can grasp his truth about the Lord becomes a soul fully surrendered unto him. So that is our position. We have to surrender to Krishna. Otherwise, it's only those jaws of yama waiting for us, for everyone. So, it's the glancing of the Lord, it said it's like a dream. We create many manifestations in the dream. So the Lord, similarly, He creates all material world. It's a dream. He's lying on the ocean, on Garbhadakshay Vishnu. Kiridakshay Vishnu? On the Karan ocean, okay. So he's lying and he's sleeping in Yoganidra. It's a mystic sleep. And he glances. So it's a dreamlike glance. He glances over material energy in the form of Devi. It is actually his internal potency, but it becomes, the reflection becomes the external energy. So Prabhupada says, an amorous dream. He's laying there having an amorous dream, like we may have. and his glance goes over to Devi, and it contacts Devi, and then he has this amorous dream, and the whole creation takes place. You know, but he doesn't directly touch Devi. He actually transforms, he becomes Shambhu, Sadashiva. Mahavishnu actually, by the time he gets there, the glance is actually carried, so it kind of separates from Vishnu. It's carried by Ramadevi, his internal potency. And then they kind of go, and then he somehow or another becomes like Sadashiva and Ramadevi. And they transform into Shiva and Parvati. So actually, originally that's the glance of Narayana Lakshmi, or the internal potency. So Prabhupada is saying here, when you trace everything back, you see there's nothing but Krishna in existence. So this material existence is actually nothing but Shiva and Parvati. It's the interaction of Shiva and Parvati. Everything is going on because of that. That's the Lord Shiva is the supreme personality of the universe, because he touches you, he deals with it. Vishnu doesn't deal with it, he doesn't touch it. So Lord Shiva does with Parvati. In the beginning there's the Shambhu, the divine halo, and that connects with Devi, and then the whole creation takes place, and that's all what's happening in this material world, is Lord Shiva and Parvati coming together. The pleasure we experience is nothing but Lord Shiva's energy and Parvati coming together, but we're mistaken to be our individual pleasure, but actually no, all that's happening here is Shiva and Parvati coming together. So that's the material creation, and they are coming from the glance of Vishnu and Ramadevi or Lakshmi Devi. So their expansions of Lakshmi Narayan, their expansions, you know, they're coming from Shankarshan, you go all the way back, ultimately you come to Radha and Krishna. So they're all expansions of Radha and Krishna. So to perform this material creation, then Radha and Krishna just assume these different forms, one after another, but ultimately, in the ultimate issue, Radha and Krishna are the only enjoyers. Because all those other forms of Lakshmi Narayan, Shiva and Parvati, and all the different manifestations in Shankarshan Prakriti, they're all in that position because they consider them servants of Radha and Krishna. Ekliha Krishna Ashabda Britta, that Krishna actually is the only enjoyer. And all the others, including Balaram and all the others expansion, they're all simply recognize themselves as servants of Radha and Krishna. So here Shukadeva Goswami is saying, go straight to the point. Go straight to the point. Why worship anything else? Because ultimately it's for Radha and Krishna's pleasure. You worship Lakshmi and you worship Shiva and Parvati. They're doing it because they want Krishna's, Radha and Krishna's pleasure. So why not go directly? And another point here is that Prabhupada is saying that the Lord is one, His expansions are various. He is therefore the super soul of everything. When a man sees anything, he must know that he's seeing is secondary, and the Lord's seeing is primary. One cannot see anything without the Lord's having seen it first. So whatever we do or see is actually the doing or the seeing of the Lord. I see this kartal and I'm picking it up. I recognize this is the kartal and I'm picking up the kartal. But just before, how did I know that was a kartal? Krishna told me. Otherwise the living entity is forgetful. Krishna said, from me come remembrance and forgetful. I'm sitting in a heart. Remembrance and forgetful. If he doesn't give you remembrance, you can't remember anything, even your own name. But instantaneously when you're looking, you're seeing all the people you know, you recognize, and there are all these objects. But he's just there before, he's telling you what it is, who it is. So he says, Katal, I say, Akatal. I say, I'm picking up. He's already dictated the material energy. Because he moves material energy, we don't move material energy. But he does it so quick. I think I'm doing it. Just before I decide, he's done it just before me. He's doing it, and I think I'm doing everything. But actually he's doing everything. He's seeing everything. Otherwise we're in complete ignorance. The living entity by nature is forgetful. He has to remind us. And you see, when he takes his remembrance away, people become deranged. It's completely lost. They come. Same person, but he's just taken that memory away and they're completely lost. Huh? So in this way, everything is Krishna. And everything is Krishna. But still he's aloof. So, we see it as a dream. It's nothing but a dream. It's a dream for Vishnu, it's a dream for us. But the difference is, we think it's reality. Our dream is actually a reality. We really believe it's... For Vishnu it's okay, it's just a dream. You wake up. But for us it's a reality. This whole creation is actually a reality. We really think we're part of it and we're going somewhere in this material creation. For us it becomes real. So therefore we have to understand the Krishna consciousness. And see, the whole world is in this illusion. They're thinking it's a reality. So the Bhagavatam is telling us how to see through the dream, how to wake up through the dream. And then you'll see it is actually just a dream. And so this is more or less the situation of Krishna consciousness movement, simply to wake up the world to the actual situation. Or in a nutshell, Jiva's true point, if you are the eternal servant of Krishna, you should be serving Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving in a very nutshell. That if you just understand these two points, then you can surpass the dream. Otherwise, Prabhupada said we have so many books, we can study and study. So much knowledge is there if we want it. But if you simply hear from the authority and accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you're His eternal servant, engage in His service and do that. That's all you need to know. Prabhupada said this, I think it was in Montreal, I think it was somewhere. Anyways, they were at the Atra, they were taking the rat, and Prabhupada said, just, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming. You're all following. We didn't ask you to come, but you're all following, you're all chanting Hare Krishna. We didn't pay you anything. You were spontaneously attracted. So this is Krishna consciousness. We're simply chanting Hare Krishna, serving Krishna, and you all become spontaneously attracted. He says, so this is the simple process of Krishna consciousness. Nothing else. Just chant Hare Krishna. And he said, but if you want philosophy, then we have dozens and dozens of books for you. But actually, that's what it was, chanting Hare Krishna. Everything is solved. Very simple process. One devotee said, Prabhupada doesn't give initiation. The next day, he said, Prabhupada, can I get initiated tomorrow also? And the devotee said, Prabhupada, he's only been here about 4 or 5 days. He's a new bhakta. Right in the early days. Prabhupada said, who is God? And he said, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. He said, who are you? He said, I'm Krishna's servant. He said, tomorrow you get initiated. because he knew it. That much, that's sufficient to take you back to Godhead. So practically we don't see, Krishna is everything and he's everywhere, but where do we see? We don't see Krishna. We see the trees, okay, it's the hairs on the body of the Lord, we see the sun, it's the eye of Krishna, but we don't actually see Krishna in this world. Even the deity, we see the deity, do we see Krishna? We know Krishna is none different than his holy names, we're chanting Hare Krishna, but we actually feel the presence of Krishna. Bhagavatam is none different than Krishna. We're hearing, we actually see Krishna. Super soul in the heart, dictating at every moment, every single moment. We see him. So he's here, he's everywhere, but do we actually see him? We don't see Krishna in this world. Bhaktisiddhanta said, no, you don't see Krishna in this world. But you see him through his devotees. His devotees manifest themselves. Therefore you can see him. Otherwise you can't understand Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatam unless Krishna manifests himself. You can't understand the Vishwarupa unless Krishna manifests himself through the Vishwarupa. You can't understand Krishna the holy name unless the holy name manifests himself. This is Krishna's prerogative. And he only manifests himself when you have the proper attitude, when he is satisfied. So all these forms, they are directly Krishna, but where is he? He will only manifest himself when he is satisfied with our devotional attitude. But he does manifest himself through his devotee. His devotee does come and reveals himself. Here I am, Prabhupada came, here I am. Krishna is the Supreme Person, come on. Chant Hare Krishna, let's all go. He manifested himself. And so Krishna's mercy comes through the pure devotee. And the pure devotees, what are they doing? They're simply teaching us how to develop a proper devotional attitude, service attitude toward Krishna. That's all. So by their mercy, Krishna's mercy comes through the devotee. He doesn't, Krishna doesn't. He's given his mercy, it's the property of his devotees. He doesn't give it. Extremely rare. Krishna gives his mercy. He's given it as a, if you want it, okay, use my devotee. Devotees will give it. So, anyway, today is a day of so many appearance days of different devotees. We should glorify the devotees. At least we stand a good chance of getting Krishna's mercy rather than anywhere else. So that is actually the process. We have to follow in the path of the Mahajanas. And by their mercy, when we can learn how to satisfy them, then actually Krishna will be pleased. And Krishna actually reveals everything. There's another chapter later on. There's another description of the universal form in Bhagavatam, and they're all trying to wake up the soul of the universe, and all the demigods are entering their different respective. You know, Suryadev enters into the sun, Chandradev enters in, but still he's not wake. And they're all entered into different senses and into the mind, and nothing is happening. The whole thing, nothing happened until Vishnu actually decides to enter and manifest himself. So even though on the universal scale also, there's no realization unless Krishna actually reveals it himself. And then the whole universe came to life when he decided that he wanted to manifest. So seen individually also, that realization will come only when Krishna is satisfied by our attitude. So today is the Vashant Panchami. It means Vashanta is springtime. The Panchami is the fifth day. So it's indicating the fifth day of spring. At this time it starts to get warm. Spring is coming, so everybody's happy because the cold weather's going now. And all the flowers are coming out. And traditionally in Vrindavan everywhere, they dress the deities in yellow and everything becomes yellow, like you see in the altar today. Like it's fresh spring. So now it starts to get warm, so you can start taking off your jackets and things like that. And it's also Saraswati Puja, if you want knowledge. And there's an interesting thing about Saraswati. There's also Vishnupriya Devi's appearance day. So Vishnupriya, in Krishna Leela, Krishna married Satyabhama. He was the daughter of King Satyajit. And she was one of the princesses, the shadow princesses. In Gaur Leela, that Satyajit, he became Sanatan Mishra. And who was the father of Vishnupriya Devi. And she becomes Vishnupriya Devi. All the manifestations of Vishnu Tattva have three energies known as Sri, Bhu and Nila, or Leela. And Lakshmi Priya Devi is the Sri Shakti of Mahaprabhu in his majestic aspect of Gaur Narayan attitude, and Vishnu Priya is his Bhu Shakti. So she's the Bhu Shakti energy of Krishna. And the Leela Shakti is Navadvipam. So knowledge is of two kinds, the Paravidya or the material knowledge and Paravidya or transcendental knowledge. And Vishnu Priya Devi is the personification of transcendental knowledge. Devotees worship on her appearance day, on this day of the Shukla Panchami, in the month of Magh. On that same day, materialistic persons seeking perfection in worldly knowledge worship the goddess of learning, Saraswati. So today you want material knowledge. All the students do their puja to Saraswati today to get material knowledge. Same day, the personification of transcendental knowledge, Paravidya, was the source of that is the Vishnupriya Devi. When Mahaprabhu left for Katwa to take sannyas, he was only 24 years old, and Vishnupriya was also much younger, and so she was just flung into an ocean of separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mangala describes that the earth split from the sound of Vishnupriya's crying. The birds and beasts and even trees and stones shed tears when they heard it. Falling to the ground, she would lament, crying out, "Why does my sinful life not end?" In separation, her breath was like fire, drying her lips, and her body trembled constantly. And it's described how Vishnupriya, after the disappearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, she would go to her bath and take bath in the Ganga every day with Mother Sachi. And then she would come back and she would spend the entire day in the house. And she never allowed the sun nor the moon or any to see any part of her bodies. And even the devotees would never see her. She always had her face completely, everything was covered. They could only see her feet sometimes when she walked. And nobody ever heard her voice. And she was just simply shedding tears and eating the remnants of Sachimata. And she became very pale and thin. But she took intense delight in chanting the holy names. She was chanting all day long in solitude before a portrait of Gauranga and serving the picture, although he was present in it. And she was surrendering herself to his lotus feet. And Srinivas Acharya was also blessed. He came to Navadvip after the Mahaprabhu had left, and she gave him his blessings that he could become a great preacher in the future. And in Dipatni Ragnagar it's stated that every day Srinivas would come to see her. He observed her daily activities, which are beyond description. She had completely renounced sleep. And if she ever closed her eyes, it would be while lying on the bare ground. Her bodily lustre, which formerly glowed more brilliantly than gold, had become dull, and she was as thin as the waning moon on its 14th day. She set aside grains of rice to count the holy names as she chanted, and would cook only this rice and offer it to her Lord. Of this amount she would only eat a small portion. No one understood how she managed to stay alive. Listen to the way that in which Ishwari, Vishnupriya, would take the names of the Lord. By listening to this, you will get a feeling for the Leela. Every day she would place two clay pots on either side of her, one filled with uncooked rice, the other empty. Each time she completed one mantra of 16 names and 32 syllables, she would joyfully place a grain of rice into the empty container. She would chant in this way until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then she would take whatever rice had accumulated and cook it. This is the only food that she prepared, drenching it in her tears before she offered it to the Lord. It is not possible to estimate how many names of Mahaprabhu himself chanted, for he chanted all day and night. Similarly, his beloved wife, Vishnupriya, chanted incessantly throughout the day and night. Such dedication to the holy name is not possible for her, for the Lord had planted the seed of his power in her. So today is the appearance day of Vishnupriya. She would chant Hare Krishna and put one grain of rice in the pot, and then she would cook some, and she would eat some of that after. Grain of rice, if you take one palmful of grain of rice, there's about 3,000 grains in one palmful. So you can imagine how much she was eating daily. But this was her vrata, and she was actually enjoying chanting Hare Krishna. She was getting bliss from chanting Hare Krishna. Although she was in separation, she was getting great bliss from chanting Hare Krishna. Also Pundarik Vidyanidhi's appearance day. And he was formerly Srimati Radharani's father in Krishna Leela, Maharaj Vrishabhanu. And therefore when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thinking of him in the mood of Radharani, he would sometimes call out, "Pundarik, father, where are you? Where are you?" And nobody could understand, who is this Pundarik? Until he actually manifested himself. Pundarik Vidyanidhi came to Navadvip because he wanted to live by the bank of the Ganga. Mahaprabhu, who is the indweller of all living beings, knew prior to his coming he had such a desire. And one day in the assembly of devotees he started calling out, "Pundarik, my friend, my father," and crying. When the associates asked him why he was crying in this way, the Lord described Pundarik Vidyanidhi to them in the following way. His character is quite extraordinary. Just by hearing his name, the whole world is purified. But he dresses and looks like a materialistic person in the midst of the encroachments of lives of pleasure. No one is able to recognize him as a Vaishnava. Yet he remains constantly immersed in the deep ocean of devotion for Krishna. He never bathes in the Ganges because he is afraid to touch the holy waters with his feet, which would show disrespect. He only goes to take darshan of the Ganges at night and from a distance. He cannot bear to see people engaged in offensive behavior to the Ganges by gargling, cleaning their teeth, washing their hair in the waters. So he never goes during the daytime. He never engages in the worship of the deity without having taken a drink of Ganges water. Because many places and people take a vrata, they never take even water before deity worship. But to show the purity of the Ganga, Pundarik Vidyanidhi would always drink a glass of Ganga water before puja. He has his homes both in Chittagong and in Navadvip. He will soon be arriving here. Because of his apparent materialistic behavior, you will not be able to recognize him. But I feel unwell because I am not able to see him. The Supreme Lord has appeared in Navadvip, but he heaves long sighs because he doesn't see Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Lord Gauranga stands up and starts to dance, calling loudly, "Pundarik, my father, my friend, my father, when will I see you?" So this, when he came here, then Mukunda he took Gadadhar Pandit, because Mukunda was living in Chittagong with Pundarik, so he knew him, he knew all about him. We've got an ashram there, Pundarik Dham. If you ever go to Bangladesh, the other side, Chittagong, they got his place there, an ashram. It's really, really nice. You really feel it's a very special place. He's got his bhajan kutir. Smadhi is there, I think, also. Yeah. Anyway, his place of bhajan is there. It's a very, very potent place there. And so Mukunda knew him, so he said to Gadadhar one day that there's a great Vaishnava in town, let's go and see him. So Gadadhar was very happy to see a Vaishnava. So they went and they saw Pundarik, and he was like a king. He had beautiful silk clothes on, and he was just laying back on cushions, and he was smoking a hookah pipe, and he had all these betel nuts and pan around him, and his hair was all full of curly hair, all oily, and a strong smell of unlucky oil was coming out, and Pundarik saw that, and he had people fanning him, and they had all these spittoons and everything around, and it was completely opulent. Gadadhar Pandit was completely amazed. He said, "This is a Vaishnav. How can he be a Vaishnav like this? He's a big enjoyer." And so he saw that Gadadhar couldn't properly understand. So then he chanted a song from Bhagavatam describing Putana. Now that big Rakshasi, Putana, she put poison on her breast and she came to kill Krishna. But Krishna's so kind. He sucked her life, but Simon said he sucked the poison, but he also sucked her life out. And he gave her a position of his mother in Golok. She's one of the nurses of Krishna in Golok. Of course, Pundarik is the father of Radharani, so he's in the parental mood as well. So when he heard this story of the parental ras, how Jasoda Devi, Putana got the position, just like Krishna's mother, he just went in complete ecstasy. And he's just screaming and shouting, "Why he gave mercy to Rakshasi? Why can't I get the mercy of Krishna?" He was tearing, he's pulling his hair, and he was kicking his legs. He was going mad, and all the plants went everywhere, and the spittoons and the pots went over, and he broke everything. He was smashed, and he was rolling, and all the sheets. His servants were trying to hold him. They couldn't. He was just, because he was very big and strong, pushing him away, and he was smashing his head on the floor, going on, and he's just weeping, and he was completely astonished, showing all these symptoms of ecstasy, uncontrollable. And then Gadadhar became really, really astonished. "Wow, I made a big offense. I thought he was a materialistic person. Look at the state of his ecstasy. I've never seen like this before." So he thought, "The only way I can become free from my offense is I take initiation from him." So he told Pundarik, "Maybe you can ask him." And then he went and asked permission from Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu says, "Yes, immediately you can take initiation from him. This is the best thing for you." So then Pundarik, they approached Pundarik, and Mukunda said, "This is Gadadhar Pandit, very renowned from birth, was very attracted to Krishna, and he wants to take shelter at your lotus feet." Pundarik said, "Oh, it'd be my pleasure to have such a great disciple as Gadadhar, who's also experienced the Radharani, so he is the father of Radharani." So father is the first guru. So again, he took initiation from Pundarik. After some time, Gadadhar, he told his mantra to someone else, and He said to the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that ever since I repeat my Ishta Mantra, the mantras given by my Guru, of my Ishta Deva, I've been able to concentrate when I chant. Because your mantra is kept, supposed to be secret. If you get mantra from Guru, it's secret. Except the Maha Mantra. But the Gayatri mantras and things like that, shouldn't be spoken loudly or given to others. He said, I was speaking with someone, I told him my mantra, and ever since that time I can't concentrate on when I'm chanting, there's no ecstasy coming. So he said, Mahaprabhu, can you please again, you give to me this mantra? Then my mind will become calm. And Mahaprabhu replied that, you already have your mantra, Upadeshaka Guru, the guru who gives you the mantra. He said, be careful, otherwise you'll become an offender to him. Everything I have is yours, even my life. What to speak of the mantra? But as long as your guru is alive, it is improper for me to repeat it to you. Gadadhar answered by saying, he isn't here. Please do it in his place. Mahaprabhu replied, destiny will bring your guru Vijayanidhi to you. Pundarik Vijayanidhi will be coming to Puri to see me in about 10 days. And that actually came. And Gadadhar Pandit again approached Vijayanidhi to give him that mantra again. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati comments on that in Chaitanya Bhagavat. The mantra is Shabda Brahma, the divine sound that always destroys the mental aptitude for sense gratification. If one instructs a faithless person in the divine sound, one's mind becomes contaminated. If one's divine understanding, Dipyagyan, is destroyed, then one must seek the same again. Gadadhar Pandit understood this, so he asked Goswami Mahaprabhu to reinitiate him. Mahaprabhu's judgment, however, was that he should go again to his own guru to hear the mantra again. The lesson to be learned here is that Srila Gadadhar Pandit Goswami is Mahaprabhu's eternal associate. It is thus impossible that any contamination could have entered his mind. Through Gadadhar, Mahaprabhu was instructing those who would be guru that if one instructs an unqualified person in the mantra, it loses its potency and no longer brings the same joy to the heart of the practitioner. When this happens, it's necessary to go to the guru and hear the mantra from him again. It is against custom to hear the mantra again from someone who is not one's guru. Because one cannot change initiating spiritual masters in this way. Gadadhar was only saying, I cannot concentrate like before. The ecstatic feelings no longer come when I chant. Out of exemplary humility designed to teach humanity how to act. Some of the good advice. Also there's a famous story of Jagannath Leela, when he criticized the Pujaris Pundarik, he got slapped, he got the mercy of Jagannath. Slapped his face. Nice story, you can hear on Odom Shasti Day. Also Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. I guess he's going to, it's a bit late, isn't it? Anyway, if you want, feel free to leave if you have to leave. I just thought there's two more personalities we could say a little bit at least. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he was born in Nadia district in Devagram in about 1560, that means 1638 AD, and he was the His guru was Radharaman Chakravarti, who was a disciple of Krishnacharan Chakravarti, who was a disciple of Ganganayan Chakravarti, who was Narottama's famous disciple. And Narottama was a disciple of Lokanath Goswami, who was a direct disciple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was coming. So his father got him married at an early age to keep him But he wasn't at all attached to family life or anything like that. So he went to Vrindavan and he stayed there in the Bhajan Kutir of Krishnadas Kaviraj. And it's said that one time his guru asked him to go back because his wife sent a message to complain, you know, we just got married, and then suddenly he left and he went, he hadn't seen him. So his guru said, you should go back and see your wife. So he went back to see his wife, and he preached the whole night about Srimad Bhagavatam, and then again he left in the morning and went back to Vrindavan to do his bhajan. But he gave her a taste for Bhagavatam. And he said, you just study Bhagavatam. And so she stayed there. But he gave her an action so she could study Bhagavatam, and she was actually getting relishing it, so she didn't miss her husband so much. Then he went back and he stayed in Vrindavan for a long time, and he wrote many, many books, many, many commentaries on all the acharyas. Such a great personality. What to say? I'll cut that down. He also wrote many Bengali songs, and different commentaries. He empowered Baladev Vidyabhushan to go and defeat the Ramanandis in Jaipur. Became famous for that. And it said that when he was writing on his commentaries on Bhagavatam, in the rainy season, when he was in Vrindavan writing, the rainy season the rain wouldn't fall on him, it fell all around him. Because when it was raining, the water would come under the ink would run. So every time when he was riding in Vrindavan, the rain never fell on him where he was riding. So he was able to continue riding throughout the rainy season. And he's famous for his books. Bhagavad Gita is so, it just brings out so much devotion in his translation of Bhagavad Gita. He's just bringing out devotion between Krishna and Arjuna all the time. That's his main focal point, you know. The philosophy is there, but it's all, he brings in things we don't find in the slokas, you know. Krishna said to Arjuna, and Arjuna said to Krishna, they're having, you know, it's that, they're real, you know, that, the love they have as friendship, is rasa, it becomes really prominent in his book. As he's describing all these different things. It's a very, really, really good book. It's really enlightening. And even Baladev Vidyabhushan wrote his Bhagavad Gita commentary based on Vishnu Chakravarti's. And Prabhupada dedicated his Bhagavad Gita to Baladev Vidyabhushan. He was such a great scholar. I was in Prabhupada's room once in the Lotus building here. And he started to talk about the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, because he was following his commentaries when he was writing Bhagavatam. Prabhupada would use Vishwanath's commentaries, and he had three or four commentary books, but he was having Vishwanath's. And I was sitting there and he was talking to other devotees, and he said, and this Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he said, there's never such a scholar like him. He said, he's so great. He said, Prabhupada just went off and off like he had 5 mouths. And he said, he's such a great, no, but he's been such a great scholar since Jiva Goswami. He said, well, his works, he was just going on and on and on. Because, you know, we never really heard Prabhupada speak with, you know, Prabhupada was the topmost person for us, but suddenly he was just completely lost, and he was glorifying like anything and anything. Never such a great scholar, he said, as Vishwanath, since Jiva Goswami, he said. He was going on and on. Who can describe such a personality? There was once a plot in Vrindavan to kill him. Some people were envious of him. And they made a plot to kill him. And they knew that he comes a certain route every night. So they said, we're going to get rid of this. Vishnu Chakrabarti, some smarter Brahmins and things like that. Because he refuted a lot of the smartest claims. So they didn't, he didn't have so many friends in this. And so they waited to this place where he was coming every night, and they were going to jump out and kill him. And they were waiting and waiting, and he didn't come. And then one little girl was coming, and they said, "You live here?" She said, "Yeah." "Well, you know Vishwanath Chakrabarti?" "Yeah." She says, he's not coming tonight. He usually comes here every night. He's not coming." "Oh, yeah. What do you want to see him for?" "I said, well, you know, we have some important business we want to just talk to." "Okay, tell me." They said, "Well, you know, we're going to tell Vishnu." "No, I'm Vishnu." He has this group of, I think, Vinod Manjari in Krishna Leela. So they, we made a big offense. He appeared in his eternal form as a, they paid their obeisances and surrendered to his lotus feet. Who else? We've got Raghunath Das Goswami. A little bit, because he's unlimited. Pastimes of Raghunath Das. In the Gauranga Deepika, it says there are three different names ascribed to Raghunath Das from his previous identity as Manjari in Krishna Leela. Some say he was Rasa Manjari, others Rati Manjari, and yet others Banumati. So he was born in, like a prince actually, in Saptagram. That's near Hooghly, Hooghly district. The other side of the Ganga, before you get to Hooghly, he was living there. He had, his father had huge land. And he was getting, today would be like millions of rupees per month. He was extraordinarily rich. And he actually had his first opportunity to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when Mahaprabhu came to Shantipur after taking sannyas. And as soon as Raghunath saw him, he fell unconscious on the floor. And Advaita Acharya was also there, and he was very fond of affectionate, so he was also giving him so many blessings, and he made sure he got remnants of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's foodstuffs. So he showered his blessings upon him. Also Haridas Thakur, when he left Benapole, he came to one place where, and Raghunath was there, and he was also very affectionate from his very childhood. So these great personalities, they gave him blessings, which later, you know, developed, and he became mad after Lord Chaitanya by the blessings of Advaita and Haridas, and seeing Lord Chaitanya also. His only ambition was to rush off and meet him, but his father would always have security guards around him. Again and again he tried to run off. Then finally one time he devised a trick and he escaped, and he went to see Mahaprabhu when he was in Jagannath Puri. And Mahaprabhu embraced Raghunath Das and gave him his mercy, because he actually knew his father and his relatives. He was quite intimate with them, so he had a very friendly relationship with his relatives. So he said to Raghunath, he says, "Your father and uncle, they're like worms in the latrine, in the pit of sense gratification." He had very friendly with them, so he was calling them worms in the stool. He said, "They think that suffering comes from sense. They think that the suffering that comes from sense gratification is happiness. Even though they believe in Brahminical culture and contribute to it, they are not pure Vaishnavas. They are only imitation Vaishnavas. The nature of sense objects is they make one blind. They make one engage in activities which result in material bondage. It is not possible to properly describe Krishna's mercy which has delivered you from such bondage. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati comments in his Chaitanya-mṛta, how Krishna's mercy is more powerful than the results of one's previous activities. It was with this powerful compassion of the Lord which pulled Raghunath out of the latrine of sensual existence. A living entity who is attached to sense gratification does not have the strength to give it up. For the living being who has become a pure devotee of Krishna, however, sense enjoyments are like a ditch of stool. Mahaprabhu knew that Raghunath was completely free from any attachment to sense gratification. Nevertheless, he said this to him as a teaching to all the conditioned souls. So then Raghunath Das taught by his example of renunciation, which he is glorified for. His father was sending him money every month, which he started to use to feed Lord Chaitanya. He would make feasts twice a month, because all the devotees would invite Lord Chaitanya. So then after some time he thought, you know, my father's a materialistic person and I'm using this money to serve Mahaprabhu. It's come from a materialistic source. So then he stopped. And Mahaprabhu said, why has he stopped? And they said, well, he thought that you're only accepting out of affection for him because you favor him. He's offering and you're accepting. Mahaprabhu said, yes, that's right. Only because I'm affectionate, I'm accepting. But actually, it's not good that he's depending on others. He's become a mendicant, but he's depending on others. It's not good. It's very, very good that he's actually stopped this. And now he's begging at the Shimador for begging alms and foodstuffs. So the Mahaprabhu said, that's very good. Yes, he should beg as a sannyasi. Then later on, he said, where is Raghunath? He's not begging there anymore. He said, no. He said, because he's waiting so long. He's thinking, oh, that it's not good to be here begging because I'm always thinking this man will give to him. Now I'm becoming dependent again on... He gave love. And Mahaprabhu said, yes, that's true. He said, if you're there begging, you will be like, just be like a prostitute. Oh, this man came yesterday. May he come again today. He'll be looking, oh, he gave some, because the pandas on their way back, they would take food and the beggars, the sadhus would be there and the pandas would give them some jagannath. So he said, thinking like that, he said, he's giving up that. And now he's gone to the free kitchen. They're giving free prasad. Mahaprabhu said, yes, that's much better. Because now he doesn't depend, all he has to do is go on time. He doesn't have to wait on... He just gets enough to fill him. And then after some time he also gave that up. And they said, where is Raghunath Das eating now? He said, he's drowned by where they sell all the Mahaprasad. And what's left over, it falls into the ditch and things like that. Oh, what's going bad and things like that. Raghunath, that's that. He collects all that. Even the cows... Eat it, even after the cows have rejected it, you know. He gets it and he washes it. Sometimes it's gone green and black, so he washes the rice. And he just takes a little, that's his subsistence. Oh, very good. Please take me there. Mahaprabhu went there when Raghunath was taking that and he grabbed some of that prasad. You're having a big feast, you didn't invite me. What is this? And again he took more. Sri Kramdor grabbed his hand. No, no, no. This is not for you, my lord. Don't take it. So anyway, his renunciation is... Mahaprabhu was very pleased. And he gave him his Govardhan Shila. Mahaprabhu had a Govardhan Shila, his version, for 3 years and a Gunjamala. Because Gunjamala is always worn by Radharani. So it represents Radharani in that sense, because Krishna always sends Gunjamala. And Radharani also sends Gunjamala to Krishna. With a message, generally the message goes with the Gunjamala. So the name, somehow or another. So it always represents Radharani. So he gave that Gunjamala and the Govardhan Shila to Raghunath Das Goswami. He had personally been worshipping for 3 years. He always touched his head and his heart and crying. Mahaprabhu. After Mahaprabhu's disappearance, Raghunath Das Goswami went to Vrindavan to commit suicide. He thought, I jump off Govardhan Hill, it's not worth living anymore. But when he got there, Rupa and Sanatan were there. And they said, no, you got the nectar of ocean of pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You've been living with him so long, and you can give us all this nectar. So then they convinced him to stay there. He became just like their brother. And he was performing very severe austerities there, practically not eating, giving 1,000 dandabats to devotees every day. That's a lot, there's a lot of energy to do that. 1,000 times a day he was doing. And chanting 1 lakh or more, at least 1 lakh. I think 1 lakh. It's a standard. Chanting Hare Krishna. He said this time, someone was telling me when they went to, even about 25 years ago, someone was living there in Vrindavan. And there was a lot of the Nitai Gaurari Shambhavas there in Vrindavan. And they used to chant that. And they were having a meeting, and this devotee was there. And they were discussing the point, Maha Mantra on Nitai Gaurari Shambhava. And this devotee was there, and he said, you know, they were discussing, and I thought, Prabhupada said, if you think of Krishna, he said, everything will come out all right. Just remember Krishna, he said, whatever you say will come out. He said, I just started remembering Krishna. And then he said, you know Raghunath Das Goswami, he said, he's the Acharya here, he established Radha Kund. He established, and he was chanting Hare Krishna. So we should follow the Acharya. And they looked at each other and said, yeah, that's right. Raghunath Das was the Acharya. And now he said, most of them chant Hare Krishna. They all chant Hare Krishna, most of them. So this is the Acharya says the example. Anyway, many pastimes of Radha-kund with Raghunath Das Goswami. Specifically, there's one when he was, because he was only taking the buttermilk in one, is it palash butter, one leaf cup. That was his, he was only taking that. Because after Rupa and Sanatan left, he stopped eating solids. And he was just taking the buttermilk, even he stopped practically drinking that after. And so he had a servant, a very faithful servant, but his servant was always anxiety, how he can subsist on that just a little bit of buttermilk. So he was going by another place, and there was this tree, and it had huge leaves. Same leaf, but big. He said, oh great, I'll make some of these. So he got this big leaf, and he filled it up with buttermilk. So every day Raghunath was taking his cup of buttermilk. He said, this is your cup of buttermilk, Raghunath. Oh God, and he said, wow, such a massive leaf. Beautiful leaf, so big. He said, where did you get it from? He said, I got it from Shaki style. He said, what? And he threw it on the ground. He said, never bring again anything from that place here. Shaki style, you know what that place is? That's the place of Chandravali and Shaiva. They're always trying to take my Radharani away from Krishna. Never go again and pollute this place with anything from there. This is intense devotion. And one time he was, he had complained. In his stomach, so they brought the doctors to see him, and they analyzed this. Yeah, he's taking too much sweet rice and milk. The rice and milk, he hasn't been able to digest it properly. I said, what do you mean? Sweet rice and milk? He only eats buttermilk. He doesn't take any sweet rice. No, that's what we're Kavirajas. We know what we're talking about. This is what he's suffering from. But he only eats buttermilk. And Raghunath said, in my meditation, I was serving Radha and Krishna the sweet rice, and I took in my meditation, still in my belly. Raghunath Das Goswami ki. Okay, pray for the mercy of the devotees that they can bestow us on the proper devotional attitude. Then we can receive mercy of Krishna. He can manifest. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.